Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBQ 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
So we have Dr. Hugo Droshan calling all the way from the UK, and he was one of the prime researchers on a major research project at the University of Cambridge, and they've been polling on conspiracy theories across the UK and Europe and the US for a number of years now, and they've just recently put out their latest results, which are really fascinating. So it's really a pleasure to bring him in.
Yeah, well, Hugo, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. I was going to say it's always very cold in England, but maybe that explains why we have more lizards, is that they're just out all the time. And that's why David Icke is based in the UK and not in Miami. but maybe these are the things we can talk about more as it develops.
Yeah. Yeah. My, how does the Queen survive? I heard she's a lizard, so.
Yeah, she's one of them. Well, I don't know. It's colder. Maybe they have the heating very high in the palace of Buckingham. That's why they're doing all the works. That explains everything now. That's why they're doing all those massive works, which cost I don't know how many million. It's to make sure they're not too cold. Everything's explained now.
Wow, we solved another issue.
There you go.
So let's talk about your recent study. We'll let you run with it. So what was the most surprising to you to start with?
We've been doing some of these studies for a while. It was all thanks to Joe Yuzinski, actually, the first study they did there. We just wanted to run it kind of in Europe and to see how things were going. And when I try to do some of these talks, I often ask the audience, you know, do you think there's more conspiracy theories in the US than there are in the UK? And they all put their hands up, but it's not true. There's almost quite a kind of, it's a US and so it's actually, our study is not actually the UK as such. I don't know if this is very important for your US listeners, but it's Great Britain. So it's only England, Wales and Scotland. We don't have Northern Ireland because it's a bit difficult to pull there. But there's quite strong similarities in terms of the people, at least on their survey, who are saying they believe certain things like 9/11 or whatever it might be, and GB. So there's not that much dissimilar. And I think, as Joe's probably been saying for quite a while, it's not that much of a minority sport. It seems to be at least half of the population, if not more. In ours, it's closer to actually 60% of the population who will answer yes to one statement which you might associate with conspiracy theory belief. So that's the overall thing. And then we have, with the interesting thing is on the latest one, is that we have breakdowns on differences between Trump supporters and Clinton voters, and also in the GB UK context, and between those who voted to remain within the European Union and those who voted to leave the European Union, so Brexiters and Remainers. And there's quite stark differences concerning those two different groups. I'll let you guess which ones are more likely to answer, to believe at least some of the conspiracy theories. We can go through them if you're interested. So those are the kind of things to overall start off with, if you want.
So what really struck me is the differences. You could sort of see a different personality profile, that makes Trump voters and Brexiters very similar, and Clinton voters and Remain voters very similar. And it seems like they share somewhat different preferences when it comes to, you know, who they think is conspiring against them and why.
Yeah, that's great. I think we were thinking about this, we have these basket of deplorables, you know, are the Brexiters also a basket of deplorables? But you know, and we have some of the results here, so it's true that obviously, as we've known in the kind of news for quite a while, one of the biggest concerns is immigration, and also the question, the kind of Muslim question, if you want. So here's some statistics if you're interested, but basically Trump voters, 44% of them will agree with the statement then being the government is deliberately hiding the truth about how many immigrants really live in this country. So Trump voters, it's 44%. Brexiteers, people who voted to leave, it's 47%. Whereas Clinton voters, it's 12%, and Remainers, it's 14%. So that's one example. And the other example also is, I don't know if you've spoken about on the show about this theory of the Great Replacement, which was brought up by this French author called Renaud Camus, who has his theory that basically elites are conspiring to bring, you know, non-white, non-Christian kind of immigrants into the country, and so that they would become a majority within that country itself. So, you know, you hear all the different echoes of that, both in Europe and in the US. And again, the cross breaks are very stark. So Trump supporters, 41% of those agree with the statement that we had, which was Muslim immigration to this country is part of a bigger plan to make Muslims a majority of this country's population. So Trump supporters, 41% agree with that. Brexiters, it was 31%. And again, Clinton voters or Remainer was either 3% or 6%. So there seems to be some kind of very overlapping concerns, at least in terms of what's going on with the politics of their day.
Yeah, so these seem like really big issues, and I've been doing some polling on this with similar questions recently, and we asked both in the U.S. and the U.K., do you think the government is hiding the true costs of immigration from voters? And we got very similar numbers, but higher. So we had 55% agreed with that statement in the U.S., and I think it was a little bit higher in the U.K. So it's pretty wild that there is seems to be a massive distrust when it comes to immigration and why it's happening and if people are being told the truth about it.
Yeah, and we could pick up, and you have a lot of this too, but in the data, some of the first questions that we asked in our survey, then, which was done with YouGov, and it was done, I should say, it was in August, so like 13th to 23rd, but we asked all these questions about trust in journalists, trade union leaders, academics, friends, family members, people you mean in general, then senior officials of the European Union, senior officials of the U.S. government, we have that too, government ministers in my country, religious leaders, military leaders, people who run large organizations, and trust is absolutely minimal every single time. You know, the amount of people who trust journalists, sorry, but in the United States, you know, trust journalists, well, it's actually one of the highest, good for you. In the U.S., it's 14%, but in GB, it was only 2% who trust journalists a great deal. And then you have other things about, well, what we have U.S., you know, senior officials of the U.S. government. In the U.S., only 5% trust senior officials in U.S. government a great deal. In GB, it's 1%, so, you know, statistically insignificant, if you want. The EU doesn't do much better. In the United States, 6% trust senior officials of the European Union. But then in GB, it's only 2%, right? So, so there's massive, massive distrust. There was some hope in that we, friends and family members, thankfully, retain our trust. And so we were having kind of discussions as to what role families and friends and family members might play in having these types of discussions about certain aspects of immigration or conspiracy theories that would be linked to it. So, but massive distrust across the board, which obviously poses loads of problems for our democratic regimes.
Yeah, I guess one that really jumped out at me, because, I mean, people have political opinions about immigration and whatnot, but one where we've seen clear harm come from the beliefs is with the idea that vaccines have these dangers that are being deliberately hidden from the public, either by the big pharma or by the government who want to inject people with poison or track them somehow. And this is a very prevalent belief here. I mean, in my classes, I asked my students, how many of you got the flu shot? And of the students who don't, you know, one of the most frequent reasons is, well, I think it gives you the flu, which is not true, or it's a government plot to stick us with something.
Yeah, it's really good. We have this, and it also, there's a break between then Trump supporters and Clinton supporters again and Brexiters and Remainers. I mean, what we had overall for the U.S., it was 15% responded that they agreed with the statement, the truth about the harmful effects of vaccines is being deliberately hidden from the public. So it's 15% in the United States, 10% in Great Britain. But if you look then in terms of Trump supporters and Brexiteers, it's much higher. So the anti-vax, as we call them, Trump voters, 25% agreed with the statement, the truth about harmful effects of vaccines is being deliberately hidden from the public. Clinton supporters, it was only 9%. And again, in the GB UK setting, 13% of Brexiteers, of Leavers, agreed with the anti-vax element, whereas Remainers, it was only 5%. So it's widespread. And then again, quite marked politically too.
Yeah, and this sort of goes against like a common trope that we have, because here we tend to think anti-vaxxers are often on the left. But what your data shows is that you wind up with quite a bit of it on the right. I know that when we were polling in 2016, we were asking some of these questions about vaccines, Sanders supporters seem to be less sure of the safety of vaccines than Clinton supporters. So, there's an element of this in the Democratic Party, but Trump seems to have woken something about this issue.
Yeah.
He seems to have woken a lot of things.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, and we've been grappling with it. I mean, so it's quite interesting. It's interesting, Hillary versus kind of Bernie Sanders, and whether with Sanders supporters might be considered slightly more to the left. So we're kind of, I don't know if we want to talk not necessarily about extremes, but being slightly more hard core. And we in our surveys, we found that too. You know, people are more to the left or much more to the right than, say, center left or center right. They're slightly more likely to seem to endorse some of these types of statements. But we have been grappling with the fact that, you know, we have these certain statements which can amount to something like a conspiracy theory, but trying to parse out whether people are saying yes to these for political reasons or whether they're saying yes to this because they actually fundamentally believe that that's the case. And it seems that, but I think that goes along with a lot of the work that maybe that's been doing in conspiracy theories, which is, you know, when there's uncertainty about certain things. So in Europe, obviously, if you remember, there was this, you know, this wave of Syrian immigrants that came into Europe that Merkel allowed them all in, 1 million. And around then, obviously, all these questions about immigration spiked. And we're still having the after effects of that. So you know, conspiracy theories, political questions, but also the fact that conspiracy theories often fill that vacuum when there's uncertainty, when there's a fear of threat, and it's unclear what the future is going to bring out. So it all ties into a kind of a quite radical or kind of quite toxic cocktail, actually, of different elements.
So one really fascinating thing to me about your work is that you've been polling on some of these questions for a number of years now. And I think in one of the first polls you did, you sort of saw the antecedents of Brexit before yeah. Brexit, before a vote was even scheduled and even on the national agenda at that point. And it looks like, you know, the conspiracy opinions almost perfectly predicted what the vote was going to be, but long in advance.
Yeah, well, you know, we're only trying to follow in your footsteps and all kind of the pioneering work that you did. We did have, I'm trying to find the exact reference, but we had two questions. So here you go. Okay, I have them here. So we had two questions. So we did, this was back in 2015, and it was really just a pilot kind of poll to see. We were trying to emulate what Joe had done in the US. We're just trying to do a pilot to see how we can get along. So we asked a number of different questions. And again, this was just in the GB, but it was February 2015, so a few months then before the Brexit referendum itself, which was in June 2016. But already there we had two different types of questions. One, again, we had the question about the government is deliberately hiding the truth about how many immigrants really live in this country. And we also had the question, the officials of the European Union are gradually seeking to take over all lawmaking powers in this country. And in essence, what we had was 52% agreed with the statement, officials of the European Union are gradually seeking to take over all lawmaking powers in this country, which is exactly, actually, the Brexit vote. It was 52 in the end. And then 55 agreed with the statement about immigration. Obviously, the type of question and type of answers that we had were slightly different to the ones that we did in 2016 and 2018. But yeah, it's clearly there's quite strong links. And there was also quite strong links about concerns about immigration, again, in Germany in 2016, also in Sweden. And that seemed to anticipate somewhat the rise of the AfD in Germany, you know, the far-right anti-immigration group, and also the Swedish Democrats in Sweden in those elections. And, you know, beyond that, there was also the question about what was going to happen in Italy in the last round that we had, on the one hand, the kind of the hard right and then a left-wing kind of populist party taking over there. So there's definitely, it definitely gives you an entry point into what might happen in politics and what are the things at least to look out for in terms of what's going to happen. And there's definitely, as I think, Joe, as you were mentioning, there's these broader trends. We can do some comparisons between what Trump voters and Brexiteers think about certain questions about immigration. So there are global patterns and trends here which we can hopefully discern through this angle then of conspiracy theories.
That's really fascinating. I guess one thing that comes to mind is that, you know, when you say the U.S. and the U.K. aren't that different, you know, a lot of people think that the U.S. is very exceptional when it comes to its belief in conspiracy theories, but it's not. But there's a lot of other countries where these theories are becoming a major part of the politics. You know, it's not just with immigration, but in Italy right now you have a push to replace all the people who study or who manage science policy and replace them with conspiracy theorists or something like that. You have a party in charge that doesn't believe in vaccines. And this is going on in other countries too. Like, why do you think it might be the case that, I don't know if there is a wave, but at least on the surface it looks like there is some sort of conspiracy wave sort of sweeping the Western world?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think, and in a lot of your work previously, and I think there's a bit of a consensus in which that, you know, conspiracy theories, it's a way of, a lot of people are expressing that, it's a way of rejecting the kind of political authorities of the day. And so it's true, you know, if you think about, well, there's been some slight consensus between different parties and in a lot of the Western world, that it seems that the only way, if you want to kind of have true opposition to that, is to reject that completely. And conspiracy theories is one way of doing it. And I think it's been fed also. I mean, Trump is a good example, I think, in the U.S., but it's been fed also by political leaders. I'm sure you've talked about the links between conspiracy theories and populism or illiberal Democrats, whatever you want to call them, who kind of, it's part of their style, and it's the way that they've challenged the kind of the what's it called, the dead center, if you want to call it in those old terms. And I think in our survey, we also, this time round in 2018 over the summer, we polled Hungary. So Hungary with Orban and all the things that's going on there. And Hungary, actually, of all the countries we've kind of polled, comes out really, it comes out very much the highest, where it seems that, you know, only 15% of the population didn't think that one of the questions that we asked about different conspiracy theories, there were only 15 of them thought that none of them were true. So it means like a very large majority, so 85% of the population answered yes to one of these types of questions on vaccines and 9/11, Holocaust denial, whatever you want. And a lot of them, you know, and we go back to the question of immigration, this idea of the great replacement, and it scores very, very high in Hungary. I'm just trying to get the exact immigration. So 48% of Hungarians think that the government is deliberately hiding the truth about how many immigrants really live in this country. That's like, that is higher than Trump supporters. Right, and this is the average for Hungary. So, you know, these are all, so I don't know what you want to call them. All of Hungary are kind of basket of deplorables and on this specific issue. If I can use that type of language, I'll probably get shot down. And also then the question about Muslim immigration to this country is a part of a bigger plan from to make Muslims a majority. That's believed by 20% of the population in a country which, in essence, has almost zero immigration. So these are obviously quite politically charged questions. Orban has played them. It's been a way to kind of push back against the European Union too. So it's concerns about the future, a feeling of threat, which is in many cases very it's illusionary. It's not a tangible threat as such, because there's almost zero immigration into Hungary, but it's tapping into deeper probably cultural fears about identity or certain aspects that go along with that.
Well. How did you ever ask these people in your interviewing if, like, what makes them believe in these theories without evidence? Like, why would they not trust experts in science, people that do the job, rather than just, you know, YouTube videos?
That's a real tough one, and I think maybe, I don't know if Joe is better placed to answer that one. I mean, we're trying to do these, so these are often, they're internet kind of surveys too, and we're trying to gather as much information about these types of people also, and then try to hold certain variables to figure out who believes in. You know, there does seem to be, we've tried to develop a number of different ideas about why this is the case. Why do people believe in these types of conspiracy theories? And there definitely seems to be a sense of exclusion and a sense of disempowerment. Certainly seems to play a role in the belief. So, you know, it's the classic case that, well, you know, when you don't understand why you're not making, you know, your way better through life, it's sometimes for certain people it's easy to fall back on this idea that, well, there's malevolent forces out there that are stopping you from actually achieving what you should be achieving. That's I can see how it's seductive for a certain part of the population. And what's interesting normally in that, at least these are some of the psychological.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, I think studies that have been done where they've gone more in depth into the type of question you're interested in and trying to understand psychologically why people are attracted to conspiracy theories. Is that in saying, okay, well, you know, my life is going this certain way and I'm struggling and whatever it might be, that in saying, okay, well, it's because there's a small group of people who actually control everything and they have a master plan and that's why they've been keeping me down. There is a sense of at least intellectual empowerment which goes with that, which at least you've explained to yourself the world in which you live. And so that's comforting to a certain degree. And you can understand why there might be lots of people who are struggling and feel that's one way to try to understand it. So I think that's based slightly more on the psychological studies. We're trying to do this overall kind of, it's not really big data, but kind of overall perspective and get some sense of what the polling is. But exclusion, I think a sense of exclusion from power, from politics, a sense of exclusion even in the economic or social life of your country, that will push people, I think, into trying to give an account of why that is the case. And conspiracy theories are kind of a ready-made, easily accessible account and theory of why that might be the case.
Yeah, kind of blame someone else. I just wonder now, are the conspiracy theories and what people believe in the same in the UK or different? Like, do you have the same sort of theories and they're popular, or is it totally a different sort of set of conspiracies?
So we for the consistency of the survey, we asked how many, 1, 2, 3, like about 8 or 9 questions, which were all the same, and we asked them kind of throughout. It's hard to judge. We don't know if you'd ask something else in a different country, whether more people would be responded. But in terms of what we did ask, it's relatively coherent between the US and the GB in terms of the responses that we get. They're relatively close enough in terms of the percentage of people who say that they agree with them. So as I was trying to say already about, immigration and this idea of the Great Replacement, once you move away from Trump and Clinton or Brexit and Remainers, overall, the statistics are not that very very dissimilar. So the vaccines one, for instance, in the United States, 15% agree with the statement. In the GB, it's 10%. Immigration in U.S. is 21%. GB, it's 30%. So there's variation, but it's not 0 and 20 and 50 or whatever it might be. So there is an international kind of like menu of conspiracy theories which people seem to pluck their ideas from, and that seems to be relatively international. It's not just US and GB, because we asked, we also polled Italy, Portugal, Poland, France, Sweden, Germany, Hungary, and there are variations, but there are variations within a certain amount, And so all of these people seem to have some views on these types of questions that we've been asking.
So, you know, a lot of the conspiracy theories we talk about are somewhat political in nature or medical or economic, but then there are some more zany ones, I guess, for lack of a better term. So I know in the past you've asked about things like alien beliefs or whatnot. Are aliens flying around and visiting us, or are alien existence being covered up by the government? Have you been polling on that recently, or was it just a few years ago?
Yeah, we have that exact question. So we have one question, which is humans have made contact with aliens, and this fact has been deliberately hidden from the public. In the U.S., 14% of the population agrees with that. In the GB, it's lower. It's only 8%. So we have that. We also have questions about AIDS. So we have a question about the AIDS virus was created and spread around the world on purpose by secret group or organization. So it's 9% in the U.S. and 4% in GB. We have Holocaust denial, which you'd be glad to know is not very high either in the U.S. or in GB. It's 4% and 2%. Global warming is a hoax, and U.S. that's 17%, in GB it's 7%, and we've talked about vaccines. And then we have Joe coming from the work that you did in terms of identifying the kind of the heart or core, if you want, of conspiracy theory belief. So one of those questions being, regardless of who is officially in charge of governments and other organizations, there is a single group of people who secretly control events and rule the world together. I think that's one of the core questions you had, and we tried to kind of replicate that. And here you see US and GB is not that dissimilar. In US, 17% of the population say yes to that. In GB, it's 14%. So there's not much difference there between the two.
So it's pretty wild to think that, you know, and just the people that you'll interact with on any given day, some of them are likely, just by chance, to hold pretty hardcore conspiracy theory beliefs. I mean, in my day walking around, I'm going to walk into somebody who, you know, thinks that aliens are wandering around or that vaccines are a hoax or something like that.
Yeah, many of them are probably your colleagues. if you went around your colleagues... You will find it. Yeah, exactly. It's definitely true. I can attest to that too, which I think goes to one of your previous studies, is that you will find conspiracy theorists in all walks of life. You will find them everywhere. The question is then, are certain people more likely to believe conspiracy theories? Yes or no, but you will definitely find them everywhere. And, you know, percentage wise, one in two would probably agree with one of these types of statements. So they are around. I suppose the question then is, you know, they've always been around. It's just a question of how that's been. There are questions about technology, I think, in terms of how they've been, probably have slightly more access now through social media, Facebook, YouTube. Oh, that was one thing that we did find. We did actually we did ask about social media consumption, which hopefully was a new kind of bring aspect to it. And obviously, you know, it's very, very high, where people get their news from. And we found there was a link, you know, Facebook seem to encourage a slightly more belief in conspiracy theories. Twitter, surprisingly, had the inverse effect. If you're more on Twitter, you're less likely to believe in conspiracy theories. Maybe that's because it's slightly more journalistically kind of bent. But the one which was very strongly linked was YouTube. And you know what, when I think of YouTube, I think about Building 7 of the World Trade Center collapsing on itself and all those videos that go around, and people see that video and they say, look, there's the proof that, you know, it's controlled demolition. And it's because you have this, it's directly there. Whereas before, you know, with the media was slightly differently organized, and you had journalists or you had gatekeepers, if you want, who kind of filtered out some of those slightly wilder kind of green ink that people used to write in with their green ink to the editors. That filter is no longer there, and in fact, the whole model even of something like Facebook is to encourage as much volume as possible. That's the business model, and we know that fake news or conspiracy theories are more likely to be shared than real news, if you can put it that way. So the technology is definitely kind of played a role. And then there is the changes of the politics of the societies that we live, which have also been driving that slightly.
I mean, Twitter's sort of interesting in that if you come out with a conspiracy theory, I mean, anyone can jump in and just say that's crazy and provide evidence very easily. So it makes sense that, Twitter sort of, it almost has a built-in immune mechanism to sort of push back, whereas Facebook, because it's happening in people's self-selected little groups and then they're just sharing things yeah. into the group, they wind up sort of getting these things and there's no pushback. And then YouTube is another one. And I never thought about it much, but that algorithm that they were previously using where – you know, you watch one YouTube video and then all of a sudden a 100 other conspiracy YouTube videos. And because I have to watch these videos for work, I get a lot of them. But it's amazing how good they are at just getting you to the next video right away. And you can really get sucked into something if you're not prepared to push back against it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And there was one of my colleagues on the project, Don Norton, who's a journalist for The Guardian. He writes a lot on technology. He writes a column every for The Observer normally on Sunday on technology. And then he did point out that YouTube, you know, if you Google or if you try to find a video, you know, which would be something very, you start off with something very kind of simple, which would be, I don't know, I want to do some exercise. I want to do some weight. So the first video you'll get will be, you know, I had to do some, you know, I don't know, go for a run or whatever it might be. But the next video, if you keep going with the videos, ultimately you'll come to like how to do an Ironman 200 kilometer over, you know, one day, et cetera, et cetera. So it goes straight away to the natural progression, if you want, or as the algorithms are put up, will push you more and more to the extreme. So if you imagine you come with this question about, well, what about, you know, what happened with JFK, for instance, right? There's still lots of questions about JFK. You know, you might start with, you know, just, I don't know, the Zapruder film or something like that. But it will very, very quickly go into, you know, very, I don't know how you want to put it, but full-on or hardcore conspiracy theories about all the things that you might want to put along with it. So it is interesting that the technology is kind of geared in a certain way to encourage this type of thing. And that is, I think, probably a new feature of our societies. It's not that conspiracy theories were never there, but this propagation is definitely, the nature of that has changed. And it's hard to think that that hasn't had an impact on our politics, too.
So what can we do? How do you think it gets stopped? Because I think, you know, YouTube, for example, wanted to change their algorithm. And I think that's probably a good thing. But on the other hand, the people who are already steeped in it are already steeped in it, and they'll go out and find what they want to find. So it may be too late there for some people. But just outside of the social media, what do you think we can do to sort of make the politics less suspicious?
Yeah, I kind of wrote a bit, and following on from the surveys being reported in The Guardian, I think I stuck my head out and suggested five different ways in which conspiracy theories might be kind of reduced, which was probably not a good idea at all. But the five that I had were, obviously some of these will sound good, but, the first one was, which goes back to the question about trust, which is why I brought it out in terms of trust, in terms of family or friends, is that there's still trust there. And we often think, oh, it's very hard to talk to conspiracy theorists because, you know, if you come to try to convince them otherwise, they'll be like, oh, but you would say that because you're in on the plot, et cetera. But if there's still trust amongst friends and family, you know, I think you could still have a slightly more honest discussion about what's going on. And I have anecdotal, admittedly, but I have anecdotal evidence that this may work with a certain friend recently who was expressing doubts about 9/11 and how it might have been, controlled. And I explained to them how skyscrapers are built and that's why they collapse on themselves, et cetera, et cetera. And it seemed to have gotten some kind of leeway. The other people who are trusted are still academics. And so maybe, you know, this is exactly the type of thing maybe we should be doing more of. Although within a certain, you know, I think we all know academics have crazy ideas too, but within a certain field of expertise, that might be useful. So The Guardian, for instance, has Cass Mudda, who's this very well-known kind of expert on populism, is running a series of things on populism. And maybe that, you know, maybe, Joe, you should be doing more of this stuff. So good on you.
it's true.
Yeah, there you go. And there's, well, so there was other stuff about, you know, education, regulating the technology. Obviously, that's a big one. But if it is, the final thought was, if there is a bit of, sometimes a sense about immigration, these things, like these are concerns that have been expressed. There is a sense often that politicians haven't heard the type of messages about concerns about immigration, feeling of threat or whatever it might be. And I'm not at all suggesting that Hillary Clinton's right to say we should just stop immigration at all. I don't think that's the right answer, but some type of articulation of what a position is, rather than just kind of, you know, sweeping it under the carpet and not talking about it. I think the reason why we're having all these, you know, spikes in conspiracy theories about immigration or Muslim immigration or whatever it might be is that the population does expressing a concern about it, and politicians often either haven't been addressing it, or if they have been addressing it, to kind of make political hay out of it, to weaponize or throw kind of more oil on the fire, stoking certain fears. But for those who you know, don't think that's the right answer, there hasn't been a coherent kind of story or narrative about what should be done about this. Do we have a coherent narrative today about the benefits actually of immigration? I don't know. All we hear is how immigration is terrible, and so that plays into certain political hands. So there is a question of being responsive, hearing, and also about what kind of formulating a political response, a clear political response to certain political kind of questions and concerns that are being expressed.
Yeah, I mean, right now, a lot of the research into how can we deal with conspiracy theories is, you know, what's the right thing to say if we give a conspiracy theorist authoritative information, will they change their mind? And there's not a lot of good findings yet. But to me, a lot of those strategies seem like a cheap way to paper over the real problem. And if the real problem is that politics isn't responsive or transparent, I mean, that's a much more difficult problem to fix, and one that will probably do a lot more good.
I completely agree with that. I think on the first part, I know that because we talk about conspiracy theories having this kind of self-sealing capacity, any new information, they're just going to use it to justify their own kind of slightly beliefs. I think it's going to be very difficult, especially for outside people. But if there's a degree of trust, which is maybe something to explore a bit more, a degree of trust, friends, family, maybe that will be, you get slightly more of a hearing. But otherwise, I completely agree that I think I've tried to say sometimes conspiracy theories are not the cause of the disenchantment with democracy, but rather the symptom of the disenchantment with democracy, right? So there's deeper problems here in terms of participation, in terms of and feeling inclusion, in terms of political inclusion, even economic or social inclusion, right, which are aspects of it too. So this is part of the fundamental challenges I think our societies are facing today, and conspiracy theories kind of are the larger swell of conspiracy theories seem to be the epiphenomena of that. But there are, I completely agree, Joe, there are deeper causes, deeper roots to this, and those, to tackle those, that's a very, very large and ambitious program. But, you know, I think that's where we are. That's also where we are today. We've had all these challenges. We've had all these kind of political electroshocks, whether it's Trump in America or Brexit in the UK. These are the things that we need to address and to try to come up with new accounts of what should be done and new ideas and new policies to try to address these things. And conspiracy theories, I think the belief in these is a representation of that malaise that there is with our political systems and our democratic systems today.
I noticed in the survey that the mistrust in authority was very high in the UK, you know, journalists and the government. That with Trump getting in power, did the mistrust go down? Like, do they trust the government now that it's Donald Trump more so?
I don't think so, sadly, and mainly because Donald Trump has continued precisely to peddle the same type of conspiracy theories about why his brilliant and amazing and awesome ideas are not playing out as well as you'd hoped them. And that's been very interesting. We often thought conspiracy theories were going to be challenges to power, but what happens when you get a conspiracy theorist who is in power? But the thing is, when a conspiracy theorist like Trump comes to power, he just continues to use conspiracy theories to to justify his actions. So all the accusation about fake news, et cetera, hasn't helped at all. So sadly, no, there hasn't. I can check that exactly, but I trust has not gone up, and it's been fueled, if anything, by conspiracy theorists or people like, you know, Orban, also populist or liberal Democrats or whatever you want to call them, who have continued. I mean, the whole thing that you get, I think you get this. This has also become an international one, right? It's the role that Soros plays in all these awful things that are apparently happening in the world. I think you have then U.S. This is one of the things that definitely being Orban has been using to shore up his rule. He's, you know, they're both Hungarian, and he's accusing a Hungarian Jew living in America of being in the main opposition. So the conspiracy theories have continued to have, that's been one of, I think, one of the big changes or the phenomena too, is we weren't certain, but now we know conspiracy theories in power. They don't change their rule book. They just keep using the same rule book, and they will continue having conspiracy theories about why they haven't been as successful as they claimed they were going to be.
Yeah. I just thought Trump was kind of fighting the deep state. I'm confused. I thought he was the guy.
Yeah. I think Joe, I'm going to leave that question to Joe. I think Joe
yeah. When in doubt, pass it to Joe.
Pass it to Joe. He's the real expert. I'm just kind of making a kind of subsidiary appearance here.
Yeah. Wow. What amazing findings. So now let's give out your website and any contact information that you want the public to have.
Great. Well, that's very kind. I mean, so it should be said this survey was done with YouGov, which is a polling company based in the UK, but they have international antenna too. I think Joe has used them also in the US. Our project was called the Conspiracy and Democracy Project at the University of Cambridge, based in this Center for the Research in the Arts, Social Sciences and Humanities, aptly named CRASH, which was a great kind of name. And it was funded by the Levy Hume Trust, which is a kind of a philanthropic organization based in the UK. And in fact, the fact that we were funded by the Levy Hume Trust meant that we were obviously, our project became kind of a subject of conspiracy theorizing. I think David Icke accused us of being the propaganda arm of the government, of the British government, because the Levy Hume Trust was founded by a colonist and a Freemason, of course. So we were all in it. We're all in it. We're lizards, Freemasons, colonists, etc. So that's us. But the website is still up and running, conspiracyanddemocracy.com, if I'm not mistaken. And then these findings have been reported in the Guardian. So that's hopefully, if you're interested in seeing more, some of those things will be there. And we're hoping, obviously, we only had our launch there a couple of weeks ago in November. So we're keeping working on this, and hopefully there'll be more things coming. There'll be more things coming out soon.
Great. And we're going to have that link to our website as well, so people can just do one click and go to it.
Great.
Again, thank you very much for being here and taking the time to talk to us all the way from the UK.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah.
Yeah, Hugo Droschon. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.